For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, June 22nd, 1981. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp Family Camp Meeting. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the evening.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, for the authority that I've given, yea, this is the accepted time. And do not fear, but move into the glory of thy God, for I will purify. For our God is a consuming fire, therefore my authority is within you, and the anointing of the Lord has prepared you for this hour. Rise up, my love, my fair one, for the glory of God is within thee, and thou art, yea, moving out to raise up many unto the Lord. For the field is white, yea, and the timing is now, and the gleaning shall be great. For I will give you a handful on purpose, and thou shalt abound as the loving of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We need laborers here. And if you don't have some place to labor for the Lord, we can use your labor here. If you want to take a vacation and come here for a while, or if you're retired and want to come here for a while and help us, we can use laborers. We have lots of finished carpenter work that needs to be done in here. Sheetrock will need to be sanded and painting and lots of work like that. We have lots of land to clear. So if you don't have anything to do for the Lord, you come here and we'll give you something to do. We'll try and give you a place to sleep and something to eat, and then let the Lord bless you for your labors. But we appreciate it. We have many people here now and who are not here who have contributed greatly to this ministry, and God's blessing them. We have one lady and her husband. She is here, who has supplied us with almost all the kitchen material. We not kitchen, but some kitchen, but the dining room supplies. Plates, glasses, silverware, hundreds of dollars worth that we have here to use as soon as we open the dining hall. And we had no idea she was going to do such a thing. And she just keeps, once she comes to the meeting, she just keeps bringing another carload of something that she has went out and got for us while she was away. And she brings it down, and we've got dishes, and we've got silverware, and we've got plastic glasses and all to furnish this dining hall with. And there's others here who have supplied other things. We have a new ice cream machine for the dining hall.
Oh, yes.
And that's right.
I felt the witness. Hallelujah.
Somebody up in Missouri has donated.
Stay on.
And but the Lord is blessing in areas. And if the Lord lays on your heart, why, we'll not say no, and we'll say thank you, and the Lord bless you. And Chuck, the Lord bless you.
This is a gracious place. What a field of endeavor. Many, I just hear the testimonies of those who have, the brother just sat down over here, did supervise most of the steel work. Some, I went down and seen the sawmill. I just bless these things. Amen. I just say bless them. But most of the lumber out here would have been a third of what it would have cost the camp. The lumber that was cut over here and the brother that did it. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're not just saying, hey, they'll never get that. They're going to get it. They're going to get the reward of that investment. And let's release it right now for everybody that's ever contributed. God is our source. Amen. We release it in the name of Jesus. Praise God. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We release that anointing. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the mighty God. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of all kings. Now song that you give to me. You are the song that I sing. And now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. One more time. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praises to your name I will bring. You are the mighty God. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of all kings. Now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. And now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. We speak life unto the word, 1 Corinthians 16 chapter and verse 13. We say unto the word, live in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Loose my brother and release my sister in the authority of thy word, and enlarge us, O God, in thee. Lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes. Move and enlarge the tabernacle of the firmament in the name of Jesus. The profile of the inheritor is the theme that we've been talking about, because the blood of Jesus, as the Lamb's blood, came from the symbol of Exodus 12. When the blood was shed and put upon the doorpost and the lintel, that thoroughfare as it was spilled there and then well received, the receiving of the blood is quite a revelation. I don't know all the ramifications of it, but I will put it forth to you that God has been speaking to me that the teaching of the word is not so much teaching things that others haven't heard, but to release the people of God with the prosperity of authority in his word, and to give out things that the body will receive. In other words, there's some things that, as I go along speaking, and if I don't know the full scope of it, I'll just say, now this hasn't been revealed to my satisfaction. Like Brother Glenn was saying, there's some things, you know, you just haven't been satisfied with. Give it out to the body. Somebody's got the revelation. The other day, I was teaching on the incense and the Zacharias and the priest's office, where he threw the incense, and the high priest would throw on at 9 o'clock in the morning the left hand of incense. Speaking of the holy priesthood, of praise and worship, because it was 9 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. Amen? That's our holy priesthood, magnifying, giving praise unto God. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he came with the right hand of incense, throwing it on to the altar of incense. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John went to prayer. And as they went through the gate beautiful, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man received from the right hand. That's our royal priesthood to set the captive free. And he was delivered. Hallelujah. Stereophonic anointing came upon him, we found out. The word strength means stereo in the Greek, which means 2 feet, 2 ankle bones. Therefore, in stereophonic sound, we got 2 speakers. God put him in the midst of the music of creativity. Hallelujah. And healed him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. This is the authority that God's given us. So then I said, now, I'm not sure what that incense is. I can't spiritualize that. I have no revelation on that. If anybody does, speak for it. So we went ahead and spoke a little while. Finally, a brother stood up and a sister, and the sister said, well, I just feel like that revelation is the incense is love and the aroma is the authority. Another brother had a scripture for it, Ephesians 5, where that the incense is the love of God, 5, 1, verse 1. And had scripture for it to verify what the Holy Ghost had showed someone else. I believe revelation is on the body of Christ. I know that. The Lord told me in my younger ministry, he said, now if you'll listen to my people and loose the gifts, you'll find that the gifts shall flow in a phrase or a key word. And from one service to the next, you'll see the key word or the key phrase. And then you'll fortify that with Scripture, and you'll never be without the information and the glory of my word. And teach seminar after seminar, just because you've allowed the gifts to move upon my people. Thus saith the Lord to my people. And then fortify that with the word of God, and you will see. And then, of course, study to show yourself approved, because the anointing, hallelujah, breaks the yoke. This is what the Lord is saying. Thank you, Jesus. That's the impact of His glory. So now He's bringing about His life and His peace among us. Now, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, and quit you like men, and be strong. Watch ye means be the trumpeter anointing. The Bible says that Gideon, the Holy Ghost came upon him and he blew the trumpet. In the original Hebrew language, it means that the Holy Ghost clothed himself with Gideon and blew the trumpet. That's the original. It means the Holy Ghost will put you on to accomplish the work of the Lord. Amen? He'll enclose himself with you. Hallelujah. That's because we are yielded unto the Lord and He puts us on and comes upon us, or He encloses Himself and moves in to accomplish those things that He has performed and He desires to bring forth. Hallelujah. So therefore, get ready for an authority from the Lord, and His power and His person shall come to pass within us. Stand fast in the faith means don't break rank. Put that down. And write in there 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32 and verses 38. Stand fast in the faith means don't break rank. Quit you like men and be strong. Quit you like men means don't pull your shoulder back when God reaches for you to use you. Hallelujah. When God reaches to anoint you with a mantle of life, don't shrug your shoulder. Don't pull back from God. It's the same thing in the Old Testament where Israel was a deceitful bull. It means when God wanted to use Israel and bring her up into the power and the authority of a great weapon, when you string a bull, you take the wood, and as the wood is carved against the grain, then you put one into the bull between your feet, and the other you put pressure on, and that pressure 10 pounds. Hallelujah. Comes to church every now and then. 15 pounds. Really don't like to raise their hands and praise the Lord, but they will stick around sometimes. 20 pounds. The authority of the Lord then is putting the weapon into stress areas. And the Lord said Israel is a deceitful bull means when He wanted to string Israel and use her as a great weapon. 30 pounds, 40 pounds will get you an elk. 60 pounds is a tremendous weapon. And when the string sings, she's ready to be used. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what you're going through with, if your string can sing. Hallelujah. If the anointing of God upon your bow, you're a weapon of the law. When the pressure's on, hallelujah. Get ready, for the Lord is using you mightily. Jonathan had a bow that flipped or turned back on him. Did not turn back. He could depend on it. The deceitful bow means when God's pressure's on us, we flip underneath it. We just can't take it. So bless God with the authority of the word and praise. Hallelujah. Your string becomes a harmonious weapon of God. And then you hit the mark. Hallelujah. For that authority that God's called you to do, you will come forth, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's been our subtext. But as the blood brings us into the fold, what did the blood of Christ protect? The blood of the sacrificial lamb protected the firstborn. Therefore, we're just reviewing now, the firstborn received most of the inheritance. That's why Jesus wants you and I. He's the Lamb of God, and His blood is to be brought forth within us, not just to give us fire insurance to miss hell, but bless God to bring us into the full inheritance of the believer. Amen? The full inheritance of the believer goes all the way up to the tabernacle of the firmament found in Psalms 19, verse 4 and 5. We are under the chupa, the tabernacle of the sun in the King James, but it's the tabernacle of the firmament, which the bridegroom gives unto his bride as she comes under the chupa, under the covering with him. The four posts stands for the four offices of Jesus Christ, and the linen stands for the high priest anointing that he gives us. We have to go through the high priest, and then the universe is at our disposal. That's our estate in him. He has given us the universe, the galaxies. This is the tabernacle of the firmament. There are five or seven tabernacles: the tabernacle in heaven, the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of David, the tabernacle of Jesus, the tabernacle of the believer, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then there's the tabernacle of the firmament and the millennial tabernacle. Those are the ones that are mentioned in the Word. So each phase of the anointing of the blood of Jesus, the authority of that blood, the full criteria of anointing and the atonement is to bring you and I into the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. And we will have the inheritance that the Father has given us. So now this is the profile of the inheritor. Watch ye. Be the trumpeter anointing to see the cloud of God and to expound in what God is doing. Because when the cloud moves, you'll move with it. Stand fast in the faith speaks of the army of the Lord. And write down Joel 2:7. Now I find that the spiritual concepts of glory from the both covenants will spread throughout the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. It's like you would take a smooth stone and take it and throw it across a lake or a body of water, and as the smooth stone goes across the lake and hits down and skips 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 times, what a tremendous revelation. And that's what the Lord does with Jesus. He is the rock. Hallelujah. And God let that stone, and everywhere the stone skips down, it produces ringlets of anointing and revelation. That's what he does in the Word. So now we have the New Testament thrilling concept. Stand fast in the faith and don't pull your shoulder back, but be the weapon of the warfare of God. Be strong. Hallelujah. And let everything you do, let charity motivate you. Hallelujah. Let love be your aim. Now we're going to deal now with the breaking of ranks. Don't break ranks. Stand fast in the faith speaks of the army of the Lord. Now let's go now to Genesis and see the continuation, just a few. There might be others that you'll come up with, but see the authority of the Lord. Now let's begin with Genesis in chapter 46. And Israel took his journey, Israel being Jacob, took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. Please underline visions of the night and put down Psalms 16, verse 7. One of the ways that the Lord is opening up the weapons of our warfare is that this is one of the greatest weapons of the children of the Lord. I've taught this for many, many years, but I'd like to see more of God's people flow into the authority of the visions of the night. And in verse 7 of Psalm 16, verse 7, he says, the reins, my reins teach me the counsel of the Lord. He has showed me his counsel during the night season in my reins, which is my thought life. What David is saying, this is part of the key of David, is that God will speak to you during the night season and make you creative in spiritual matters and in all things that pertain to life. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So allow the authority of the Lord to move upon you. And it was the visions of the night. My wife and I, we join hands together and we say, Father, bring our spirits under subjection to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And speak to us your counsel during the night season. And as you initiate that, David had that anointing. And I believe that down through the years, we've allowed one of the greatest weapons of the children of the Lord to be dormant. Because we have not been taught to continue in the grace and the key of David. Whatever we shut will be shut, and no man will open it. Whatever we open will be open, and no man will shut it. This is the heritage of the body of Christ. The profile of the inheritor is that you will have the night authority, the counsel of the Lord during the seasons of the night. Whoever taught us that our spirit would sleep, and we're not to just let it wander around dreaming of how many tacos we ate and wrestling with them, or falling off of cliffs, or some oddball negative dream that upsets us for days. Huh? We bring our thoughts under subjection and our spirit under subjection to the Holy Ghost. And God will not only teach you spiritual matters, He'll tell you what's going to happen the next day. He'll tell you how to discipline. He'll tell you how to move in your family. He'll tell you how to move in your business. He will make you creative and teach you how to gain authority and prosperity as your soul prospers. If we only bring our spirit under subjection while we're among the congregation and just barely get by, pray for me that I'll hold out to the end. And this looks like the end. Barely hanging on. In Oklahoma, we call it an hour late and a dollar short. God doesn't want that. He said, I want you to be victorious. I want you to be inventive. And my wife and I, as we pull our spirits in together, even though I'm traveling in many times, and we have something, I'll call her most every day, and we have things that we're presenting to the Father, the Lord will speak to us during the night season, and it will be harmonious. Hallelujah. And He'll tell us how to make certain areas of decision, show us what to do, because our spirit doesn't sleep, see, the body and the soul, and that body sleeps and rests. But when you're being taught of the Lord, and it'll also drive out all unrest among children that have bad dreams. When you bring your spirit under subjection, you have the authority during the night, and no bad dreams in your home. Amen? Hallelujah! That's the authority we have. That's the inheritance. So let's continue. God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, Psalms 16, verse 7. And said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. I'm back to Genesis 46 and verse 3. Stay with me. I am the God, or I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Now, underline verse 4. I think it's the most beautiful verse to show the person of the Lord and the wonderful attributes of the Father. I will go down with thee, hallelujah, into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Hallelujah. one of the most beautiful promises, the visions of the night. Israel, you've limped, or Jacob, you've limped on that hip that has been out of joint by the wrestling match with the angel. He said, I'm going to go down with you. And I will also surely bring thee up again. Aren't you glad for the word? They had the word. God spoke it 400 years before it happened. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring you up again. So the children of Israel knew this word that God spake to their father Jacob. And Joseph knew that word, so it was recorded, of course. Hallelujah. Passed down through the centuries. Father, son, son, father, so forth. There is the anointing of this impact. And he said, now, Jacob, the things that I'm doing, here is the international anointing, here is the kingdom anointing. I want you to flow in that which I purpose from the ages to come. And as I will bring you out, I will use that as a great spiritual symbol of my grace to anybody that's in bondage. They'll be brought out with a high arm covenant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The high arm that I gave Abraham, I will also give you. And I will bring them up again. Hallelujah. Then he says something very personal. See, when God deals with us in the realm of his kingdom, in our calling, and the beautiful things that we have to do within the earth, he always touches anything personable, anything that your heart's desiring, and the depth of your heart. Jesus reaches down, and the Lord says, what more can I do for you? When Jesus was raised from the dead, the disciples were hiding and perplexed and depressed and very, very insecure, to say the least. But Jesus walked through the walls and he came in amongst them and he says, hey, fellas, here I am. And he showed them his wounds of his hands and feet, the nail prints, sacrificial wounds, the tremendous wounds on his head by the crown of thorns, the tremendous wound in his side that had never been closed or healed. And when he showed him his wounds, see, he was hard to recognize because Isaiah's word was upon him. We beheld him and we did not desire him. Why? He took upon himself the ugliness, the cosmetic of the sinner. Huh? Yes. The word said we did not desire him. So he was hard to recognize. He took upon himself the ugliness of mankind. You better thank the Lord for Jesus when you look in the mirrors. Hallelujah. You know what rejoice means in the Old Testament? It means as the priests washed at the laver and groomed themselves for the throne room. Hallelujah. That's what rejoice means. You're primping for the Lord. Amen. That's what it means in the Hebrew language. Rejoice means to groom yourself and present yourself. And people that say, oh, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. Oh, yes, he does. He wants you to be your best for him. Amen? Sure. Wants you to spruce up. Amen? When you love somebody, you're not going to be always haggard. But you're going to be your best. Hallelujah. The women call it putting on your face. Now, we better hurry to the next text. But here is something very personable. And the Lord brings us out. Hallelujah. That as we enter into his divine nature, he says, now, Jacob, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. I think that's the most beautiful text. Just underneath, right up there with John 3:16. What does it tell me? See, in the old ancient times, the one you love, the closest one to you, when you die, the one closest to you will take their fingers and close your eyes. And that's why the Lord said, Jacob, the one who you thought for years was dead, Joseph will be with you and be there when you come and join me and your fathers. Joseph shall close your eyes. Hallelujah. To Jacob, that was a great, wonderful desire fulfilled, that he would see this son, Joseph. Amen. We'll not deal with that any longer, but I just want you to know, God knows the desire of your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So now in verse 49, Genesis 49, we look at verse 14. For Issachar, Jacob begins to prophesy now to his sons. And they put their hand on the greatest battle he ever had. They put their hand on the greatest defeat he ever had. Under his hip that he limped upon for most of his life, a greater part of it. And as they put their hand under the hip of their father, Jacob began to prophesy to them, each son. And those prophecies have been passed on down through the centuries unto the body of Christ. Let's look at verse 14. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good. Now circle the word rest and put down Isaiah 28, verse 11. This is the rest, and this is the refreshing, wherein with stammering lips and another tongue I will speak to this people. So Issachar was given that the rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant. So the land that it was pleasant. In other words, the overcoming life, the authority of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And how can God rest within us unless we have rest? If Jesus ever was the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, he's still the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So that's why we receive the rest. So that the Father and the Son can inhabit and make their abode within us. And God says, I want to rest. Hallelujah. And therefore, he will have his rest within us when we have the rest of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So Issachar was a man that saw that the rest was good and the land that it was pleasant. The overcoming life that it was pleasant. And there was a burden to bear, but he became a servant unto tribute. And he went forth, possessing the land, that it was pleasant, and that the rest was good. All right, turn to 1 Chronicles 12, 32. 1 and 2 Samuel, Kings, and 1 Chronicles 12. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 32 is very important. Here we have the connection between Genesis 46, the visions of the night, and Genesis 49, verses 14 and 15. And now we have 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. And the children of Issachar, who were they? They saw that the rest was good, the land was pleasant. The overcoming life is the only way to fly. Hallelujah. That's what Issachar said. We'll not just be mediocre, we want all of the inheritance that God has given and provided. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Please underline that scripture. They were men, they were teaching priests, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, or the people of the Lord, in the spiritual dynamic of it to the body, that the people of the Lord would know what to do when these men taught them, because they had understanding of the times. Verse 38. Now we're connecting with something here. See, the men of Issachar, the rest, the land was pleasant, the rest was good, and now they have understanding of the times to know what the people of God ought to do, And now they're classified in verse 38. All these men of war, circle that. Circle men of war, that's your key phrase. And all these men of war that could keep rank. There it is, now here's the stone touching down, and more revelation comes. These are men of war that could keep rank, came with a perfect heart. So the army of the Lord has understanding of the times, what the people of God ought to do. They have the anointing of the night season counsel of the Lord. They will come forth as men of war that can keep rank and make David of one heart. Hallelujah. He came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. Now, the reason why they made David king, of course, David was a man after God's own heart, but it was because the Lord spoke through Samuel that David would be king, see? So all they were doing, when people have a perfect heart, you'll see the Word of God fulfilled. That's why this training institute of deliverance and power and glory, and people are being set free. Why? Because when we have a perfect heart, the Word of God is fulfilled within us. That's our object. Our object is not just to say what gifts we've got. Our object is not just to say, thus saith the Lord, and how beautiful that is. But our object is the Holy Ghost comes upon us, purifying, strengthening, setting us free to be more like Jesus in the earth. That's our goal, not heaven. Heaven is just a wonderful handful on purpose. But our goal is Jesus all the way. That's right. And that's why all these other emphasis, why to prepare us from glory to glory. And every so often, you're being dealt with on a different level of life. You're being dealt with in your finances, in your relationship with your family. Then you're being dealt with in other relationships with others, and in your business, and in relationships to the gifts, relationships of your study of the Word, relation on, keep going. And every so often, God begins, Jesus moves us into different teaching processes of glory. Hallelujah. The Lord told me one time, tell my people they never fail. They never fail. They never miss me. They never miss God. If they'll get up and keep going, they've just gone through not a failure, but a teaching process. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why now we pick up again. The stone has hit here in 1 Chronicles 12. These men of war had a perfect heart. All right, now I'm going to skip. A big skip, if you please. Let's go to Joel 2. In the book of Joel, we find this keeping rank to come to its full power. And all the way on into the New Testament, to our text, don't break rank, stand fast in the faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. The book of Joel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Habakkuk, In the book of Joel, it speaks of, in verse 7, chapter 2, we have the clue now. Here again, God mentions certain framework of identity. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. Now, where did we read that? 1 Chronicles 12:38. So put that down in your Bible above. I've got it written above that verse in verse 7. Circle mighty men. See, Jesus and David were so much related to each other. David in the natural realm of Israel. Jesus in the spiritual realm of the kingdom. Jesus is David's greater son. But as David had his mighty men, David had three men that were the mighty. They were the first string. And then David had the second string of mighty men. And then I think he had another group behind him. I would have been content just to be his water boy, amen, go to Bethlehem and get some of that water. But the men in every phase, whenever you're around David, you brought your life into a hazard. And whenever you're around Jesus, it's the same thing. Hallelujah. Your life must be killed and destroyed, the fleshly life, and you're to be raised up with his life. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And only those in debt could follow David. Well, that was the majority of them. And you and I were in debt to sin, but he paid the price for us. Amen. That's why we're the mighty men of Jesus. So these mighty men. Now, when David was made king, he went up from Hebron. And when all of Israel had a perfect heart, he went up to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was never conquered during the days of Joshua. Never. The Jebusites ruled it for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, possibly. The Jebusites still had control of Jerusalem when David went up. He said, now, see, he reigned for 7.5 years in Hebron, and they were up at Shiloh, the northern tribe. So when they all come together, David went up to Jerusalem and saw the five levels of Jerusalem. Acra, Bezetha, Moriah, Ophel, and Zion. And David said, we're going to have Jerusalem to be our capital. And he went to Zion and he looked up and he saw the stronghold of Zion. 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, tells us of this story. The first few verses. And David and his men, the Bible says, his mighty men, went to Zion. And the Jebusites jeered David and ridiculed him and said, the blind and the lame can turn you back, David. And oh, David, really, if they said anything, it really stirred up his righteous indignation. In other words, David, we saw how you act. You jump and shout and all that worship, but you can't take the stronghold. It's ours. The enemy will always try to keep the stronghold of Zion from God's people. He don't mind if they'll stay in Moriah. A lot of them stay in Moriah, just the third level. But when they go on up to Ophel, that's where the pool of Siloam is. That's when they're washed with the renewing of the word. And that's where the authority of the kings are buried. All types of kings and domination theories and denominational hierarchy will rule you at Shiloh. Not Shiloh, but at the Ophel. That's the fourth level. But when the kings are buried there, and Jesus is Lord, you're going up to Zion. Amen? Let's go up to Zion. Praise God. So the fifth level is where the mighty men. And David said, everybody that can go up and take Mount Zion, they will get a promotion. And all the mighty men hurried, and the water was low in the cistern, and they got into the cisterns and humbled themselves and, of course, went on in and went up and partook of and took the authority of the Lord and took the Jebusites and destroyed them. And the stronghold of Zion became the worship place of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why David loved Mount Zion. That's where he put the Ark of the Covenant. No other generation but David's generation were allowed to see the Ark of the Covenant. That's why we have the Tabernacle of David in Acts 15. James, the brother of our Lord, said, this is the restoration of the tabernacle. The plowmen are going to overtake the reapers. And that will happen in our day. What does that mean? That means we'll have one of the greatest harvests we've ever known. And maturity will come upon God's people automatically in power and glory. And you'll be surged with authority. Overnight, the glory of God will come upon us. And we'll know as we're known with the authority of the word and power. And as we seek the Lord even now, the stronger we get unto Him, then we will place ourselves, hallelujah, in that glory and in that authority that the Lord is desiring. And He will move upon us in the peace and the glory of His mighty army. And it's at hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That which we spoke last night, you can get that tape also to provide a backup for what we're saying. So this is the army of the Lord. They're men of war. They could keep rank. And they shall march everyone on his way. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. When they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Hallelujah. And so forth. This is the army. And you pick up this authority now. You go through it, the council of the night, during the night seasons. The perfect heart. The rest. Hallelujah. They saw that the rest was good. The land was pleasant. They had understanding of the times. They had a perfect heart. They had the key of David upon them. Hallelujah.
the praise, the worship, the authority to keep rank, to hear the voice. David went out in the chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, and he went out to Baal-perazim, or he went out to the valley of Rephaim. And there the Philistines met him, and as he went out, he inquired of the Lord before he left. He said, "Now, Lord, do you want me to go out to the army?" And God says, "Go, I'll be with you." So he went out and met the Philistines. And the Bible says that David felt a great wave of authority. Whenever you hear of anybody saying that the moves of God are great waves, it scripturally is in 2 Samuel 5. And David called the place Baal-perazim, the God of the bursting forth. He said it was like a mighty wave underneath us, and it pushed and just lifted us up. And all we need to do is keep our swords. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he said, we won the battle beautifully. We just took more land than we ever took before. David was the first surfer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I rode that wave all the way to victory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. At least you'll remember it. Baal-perazim, the God of the bursting forth. It's the last verses there of 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter. So the next verse says, well, there was a span of time, and the Philistines came up again after they, of course, that first battle. They burned all of their books and all their occult parchments and idolatry teachings. Here come the Philistines again. Now we go into another phase of teaching. David reaches for his sword. How dare they? They come and said, now David, the Philistines have come up again in the valley of Rephaim. You had a great victory there the last time. Sick them, David. Well, David gets his sword and polishes it up. And as he's going out the door, surely God wants him to go out after the enemy. He over his shoulder said, is it all right, God? And boy, he's got his sword and jumps on the chariot. And God says, hey, David, would you hush? You go over among the mulberry trees. Well, man, what's the people going to do? Man, I'm the man of faith and power. I'm the one that had the victory, bless God. I'm the one that gave the prophecy our last meeting and shook the whole place up. I'm the one who prayed for that one, and this one happened, and that. Man, I got to go stand among the mulberry trees. What's happening here? It's one of the greatest maturity messages to the children of the Lord. Is our commission is to hear the voice of the captain of the host of the Lord. And not everything, just because it's an activity of the devil or the enemy, you're supposed to attack it. We must hear the voice and feel the authority and know the captain of the host of the Lord is with us. That's what God was teaching David. Standing over there, and Job said, hey, where's David? What are you doing over there, David? Well, I don't know. God says, now, David, when you hear the goings in the mulberry trees, then you'll be able to fight. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear my ways. I want you to know who's with you. It's not just your ministry. When you pray for somebody and their leg strengthens out or lengthens out, or when you pray for something else, someone else is set free, then, that's my ministry now. I've got the ministry of stretching legs. Hallelujah. You get all egotistical and out of balance, and you can't be taught nothing. Be adjustable. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden he heard, and the word goings in the Hebrew is beautiful. It means the marchings of the armies of heaven. And when he heard the marchings of the armies of heaven, hallelujah, David said, now I know, Father. Now I know you want me to get acquainted with the captain of the host of the Lord. Amen. And then if he's with me, every battle becomes a victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you don't get into one of those situations where Peter I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Oh, hallelujah. We're talking about the army of the Lord. The glory, the enhancing power and authority of the children of our God. All right, I've got to hurry. Now, Joel brings out four emphases. Number one, the army of the Lord. Number two, the restoration, authority of healing. what the palmer worm and cankerworm's taken away. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, in verse 23 of Joel 2. Be glad, ye children of Zion, verse 23 of Joel, the second chapter. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Circle that. That's another revelation. The wine and the oil was protected in the book of Revelation, and that there's a connection there. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and so forth. Now, underline, I will restore to you. This is the restoration emphasis of God. I believe that, and as we studied last night and hit upon this morning, that Nebuchadnezzar became the stump. And so, because he did not give praise and glory and honor unto the Lord, the voice fell, and therefore judgment came. But when he began to recognize after 7 years that God reigns among the affairs of men, he was raised up with his kingdom again. God said, I'm going to restore. So we feel that there are the beauty for movings of creativity, that in the last days there will be amputees and parts of bodies that have been removed that will be recreated. We'll see those miracles come to pass by the power and the anointing of God. Now, scripture is that when the 10 lepers, my wife, God showed her this as she was listening to the New Testament on cassette. I came in one night before supper and she said, honey, I want you to know that, oh my, the Lord, I can tell she's just basking in the glory of God. She said, honey, I heard the story of the 10 lepers, and as they came and they cried out, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And in the fashion or the manner of Moses, the high priest. And as they went, they were healed. But one, when he sees that he's healed. Now, leprosy takes away parts of the body. The fingers, the toes, the parts of the face. And so, here he is with his stubbed feet, you know, without the toes. And balance has sort of left him. But here they all are, but they're cleansed. So he turns around and he comes back and gives glory and honor and falls at the feet of Jesus, praising the Lord. But Jesus says something very peculiar. He says, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? Well, he's the one that told them to go show themselves to the high priest. Why say, where are the other 9? Because there's a difference in being cleansed or being healed and being made whole. And when they were healed, they were cleansed. And when they were cleansed, a revelation came upon them who the high priest really is. And 1 out of 10 received that revelation of Jesus Christ as the high priest. That's why he turns around and goes back to the high priest. Hallelujah! Glory to God! When you're healed and set free, you'll have a greater revelation of who Jesus is. That's what will carry on to the next glorious event of your life. Praise God. That's the beauty about it. The question was never answered. Where are the other 9? But they went on in their tradition. And this has been one of the greatest defaults and weaknesses of the charismatic move. Everybody's come in and got filled with tongues and kept in the church, and we were so nice. Offend anybody. Everybody stay where you're at. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we don't want you to leave where you're at. And my, now we have a lot of sipping saints that have stayed where they're at, and all they do now that's different is talking tongues. You won't even have communion with us anymore because the bishops turned it down. The word doesn't have priority anymore. It's the priest and the bishop's word or someone else's word. Some superintendent or super, that's over them. Well, they liked that little sip every now and then that they were accustomed to. And they also liked a little spiritual thrill, too. God's letting them have their spiritual thrill and letting them, they're cleansed. But he'll let them go in their tradition. Where are the other nine? It's a sad thing, and I'm not being critical. But we expect this crowd to desire maturity, and that's why we throw these things out. This has been a real default in the charismatic move. Stay where you're at. Brother, they're still there, spiritually. Even though now they can talk in tongues. We've made monsters out of them. Let's set them free tonight. Father, speak to them. A lot of beautiful people. We're not hard on the people, but we say, we rebuke the system. We rebuke the church system. The religious spirits that try to keep them in bondage. We bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. For I will set them free. And whom I have set free, they are free indeed. So rejoice. For the glory of God will go forth, and you'll see the Lord's anointing. Hallelujah. My Lord. And then, of course, I will pour out my spirit. Let's read verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord is to be poured out. Put down by verse 29 there, I will pour out of my spirit. It's a small s, but it's also the Holy Ghost Spirit. And there is something here that is the creative talent. Put down Exodus 35, verse 30. For here the anointing of the Lord is very beautiful. And it says that my spirit, Moses said, this is what will happen. The spirit of the Lord will come upon Bezalel and give him, I'm at Exodus 35, verse 30. Just write it down or write it down by in the book of Joel, verse 29, there, second chapter. And I will pour out my spirit. Now, what this means is that the secular jobs are given to the people of God. And God said, because the Holy Ghost has come upon Bezalel, verse 30 and 31, and he says, first of all, number one, and number these, I don't know if I'll get the sequence of them, but wisdom and understanding and knowledge, one, two, three. Wisdom, number one, understanding, number two, and knowledge. Is that the sequence? It might. All right. Then he says, number four, is that they will have all workmanship. All skill shall be given unto them. They'll know how to mine. They'll know how to fix steel. They'll know, hallelujah, they'll know how to harrow drywall. Hallelujah. They'll know all of the secular ways of man. And they knew how to where to crack a diamond, how to bring forth and mine silver and gold. They knew how to stain or tan the hides and stain the paints and bring forth the weavings of the tapestry. Oh, they built the tabernacle of Moses, but they were given the authority over all skill. Hallelujah. And all workmanship became part of them. They're never seen. Was healed. Their eyes were healed. They did things that microscopes today have to do. They had the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is just the same today. And that's why he said, I pour out my spirit. And that's what he means. You'll not only be spiritually empowered, but you will be successful in every vocation of life. I'll have Holy Ghost people in politics. I'll have Holy Ghost people in scientific fields. I'll have Holy Ghost people in agricultural fields, in the social fields, in all areas of endeavor. There will be a Holy Ghost anointed child of God, and more so, there will be plentiful in the house of the Lord. Just recently, a Holy Ghost filled man, and many are, God just put another one into the White House. Beside Mr. Watt is Herb Ellingwood now. And Herb had word that he wants us to come to the White House next week. And over maybe the 4th of July, he wants to open up the White House early in the morning and have a prayer meeting for the Holy Ghost to fill the White House. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Glory to God! Gene Browning, a black man that God has raised up. He just had a sort of a mediocre job a few years ago. He came up to Camp Cedarcrest, where we used to have glorious camps there. The Four Square Camp and World Map was up there many times, and then the Full Gospel Businessmen at this particular time. Brother Ken Copeland and I were ministering, and as the anointing was upon us, I called out Brother Gene Browning. And oh, the prophecy was laid upon him. Did you know that God, even though he was in California, just a mediocre job, but God put within that man, oh, such approval among God and man that they raised him into positions. They sent him to the East Coast, and now he is a representative of the black people between them and the black caucus of our senators. We have 18 black senators in our Congress, and they're mighty men and women of God. And the other day, I had a call during the night. Of course, it was their 8 o'clock or about 8:30 to them. But it was 3 hours difference to me. And I had a call, a conference call to five black. And all I received was their first name. This is so-and-so. Loose the word of the Lord. And here I just barely loose myself. But I said, Jesus. In my spirit, I bound the prince of our nation. And once I bound the prince of our nation, then the prophecy come upon me. And one after another, I prophesied what they were to do in the government. And in even that day, who they were to see, And they verified and started praising God on the other end. Say, surely this is the Lord. And I still don't know who they are. Hallelujah. That's not just for one person or one ministry, but I believe God has opened the door and you can take whatever you want in Jesus. Hallelujah! You can write your own ticket. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Thank you, Jesus. I used to think this was just an Oklahoma jerk. I went over there and I saw the Western Wall. How the Jewish, you know, the Orthodox do. They'll just stand. That's tradition to them. But what it is, it's the wave offering. Hallelujah. God teaches us whether we like it or not. It's a wave unto Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. The last verse of Joel. Now, actually, there's more emphasis here on the sons and daughters because it means the gifts of the Spirit will operate in the homes and the dynamic of the children shall come forth, which we've already touched on in this session. Hallelujah. The third chapter of Joel, I had to pray about many years. I did not understand. So I went ahead and preached, as others do, just that he will pour out his Spirit. Then I went from there into the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But then verse 21 kept bugging me by the Spirit. Jesus said it would. Isaiah said it would. Isaiah 11, verse 3 says that he will give us quick understanding. And in the Hebrew, Isaiah 11, verse 3, quick understanding is an attribute of the Messiah. It will culminate in him, in Jesus, but it's also ours. And what it means is you'll know the full scope of the matter. You'll have the scent of a hound. That's exactly what the Hebrew says. And when Jesus said it in the New Testament, he was speaking in the Koinonia, or the street Greek. But he said the same thing. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you know and so forth. It needs to be explained there. But he said you search the scriptures, which means catch the scent of the hound. Same thing. What it means there is that as the hound has a tremendous sensitive scent, so spiritually God's people, when they study the Word, the Spirit of God will impress you on something that you're not even aware of, but it'll attract you. And you'll bounce off of it, and you'll hit it again, and hit it again, and hit it again. And finally, the anointing will open it up to you. Amen. That's what happened here in verse 21. For I am, or I will, cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Let me read it again, underline the whole verse. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. This is the number four emphasis of the book of Joel. Number one was the army of the Lord. Number two was I will restore, verse 25. Number three was after that I will pour out my spirit, verse number three. And then number four is verse 21, I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. Put down Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Truly the Lord enhances His Scripture through other Scripture. Now let's turn to Matthew the 17th chapter. It was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Then they come down the mount and He sets many free of demonic power. And then they go over to the house of Capernaum. At Capernaum. And when they were come to Capernaum, verse 24, Matthew 17, verse 24. I want you, by verse 24, before we read it, put Joel 3, 21. Otherwise, you might forget the connection. I will cleanse their blood. In your notes, or if you want to write it on the edge of your Bible, put Unger's Dictionary. Or another Bible dictionary, whatever they have back here would be acceptable. I believe these are, they have one there. I think there is some real good ones, but the particular one that I read was Unger's. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, that's your key word, tribute, which means supporting of the earthly religious system, they came to Peter. And said, doth not your master pay tribute? Peter said, yes. He just sloughs them off and goes on into the house. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, and I like this, Jesus is really personable here. He says, what thinkest thou, Simon? He didn't call him Peter the Rock. He said, hey, Reed. That's what Simon means. A reed by the river that when the wind blows, he's easily persuaded. Every now and then that nature took over old Peter. You know, when the Jews come up at Galatia, you know, and Peter grabbed his plate and went over and ate with them, and there old Reed is again, you know. Easily persuaded. And Jesus said, hey, Reed, what do you think? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? This is very important, underline it. Or of their own children, or of strangers. Now Jesus is teaching something here, and the subject now is kings of the earth. Don't forget that, it's very important. Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, and this is the teaching of Jesus, then are the children free. The children of who? The children of the kingdom. And then verse 27, he says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. And he said, Peter, for a while we won't offend them. That's the dark ages. For a while we won't offend them. Go thou to the sea, cast an hook, but this will be the sign that when we do offend them, this will be the sign. You'll take a hook. Now, in all cases, Jesus had the disciples use nets, except this one case. And if you go back to Ezekiel 38:39, in other cases, he puts a hook in their jaw, means he limits them. And the hook means limitation. And this is why he let Peter use a hook. It means more than the coin in the fish's mouth. That is just the beginning of this revelation. He says, cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Also, there's some beautiful thoughts here. But this is the crux of the matter. Jesus is saying to Peter, for a while we won't offend them. But in paying the tribute money, and Unger says that the tribute money had two sides to the coin. In spiritual matters, it means redeeming love. In one side, it's pure redemption. But on the other side, it meant bad food that caused infected blood. Bad food that was taught, that was preached, that was brought in the traditions of men and the power of positive thinking to dilute the gospel. And that's why when the Holy Ghost brings itself among the army of God to its full tremendous crescendo of authority, the pulpits of the land will be purified by the people of the congregation. We're not going to put up with this business, powers of positive thinking, denominational doctrines, and all types of tradition that have caused gangrene and infected blood. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to purify my gospel. I'm going to purify that which is spoken in my name or trying to give me credit for it. And yet it's all filled with bad food that causes infected blood. But I'm going to cleanse your blood from Mount Zion. That means a menstrual anointing is going to be so strong in our day. Praise and worship is going to be mighty. And the glory of praise and anointing. I just pray every day for people to be raised up in the menstrual anointing to teach God's people how to praise the Lord and come into high praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why he said, now, Peter, there will be a day. Now, hold on to your seats. Tighten your spiritual seat belts when the fish system will decrease. I'm going to put a hook in the fish system. And there will be a day when the kingdom system shall increase. And the children of the king are free. Hallelujah. It does not mean we will be faithful and shall go forth and know the power and the authority of God. But we have allegiance unto Jesus. Amen. And the children are free. Hallelujah. And the authority and power of the Holy Ghost will be upon you. I've got to hurry. Daniel, please. The book of Daniel, chapter 7. This is the epitome of glory. This is what we're talking about. It starts with the Ancient of Days. In chapter 7, I want to read, starting with verse 9. The Ancient of Days is mentioned. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Daniel 7, verse 9. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream, he's the consuming fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words, and it goes on to the horn speaking and other things, but he said, this is the timing of the Ancient of Days. Let's pick it up in verse 13. Because of time, we'll deal with especially just with the Ancient of Days. I saw in the night visions. Here we go again. Circle night visions. and put down Psalm 16, verse 7. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. Underline that. Circle it. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. For the children are free. Amen. Forever. Even forever and ever. Hallelujah. Now verse 27, please. We'll start with verse 26. But the judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion to consume it, to destroy unto the end. And, verse 27, underline it, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hallelujah. Is the people of the saints of the Most High, who is the Son of Man that gives them their authority. The Ancient of Days, then, means the timing of God. The Ancient of Days is the highest level of authority and name of God as it reaches into the timing of the last days. The Ancient of Days, then, sets up the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man has nothing to do with his relationship to mankind. It's one of the greatest names of the Messiah, Jesus. The Son of Man is the supernatural name of the Lord, and it's the key to the New Testament. And as you read that and allow the Spirit of God to lift up Jesus as the Son of Man, then every time you read in the New Testament, the Son of Man has power over the Sabbath. The Son of Man can forgive sins. The Son of Man, the Son of Man. He will take on a greater authority, because everywhere the Son of Man is mentioned, he is the channel that the Ancient of Days says, I have placed upon the children, or the children of the King, the people of the saints of the Most High. I've given them dominion and the kingdom, and they shall possess the kingdom. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And the Son of Man is the Hebrew word Baranach. Put it in your Bible. Barinach. That is the Hebrew word for the Son of Man. It is the highest name of God, the Baranach. The supernatural authority of God in the whole heaven. And he's been lifted up, his timing is at hand, and he has given you and I the authority as saints of the Most High. And the kingdom are free. And he says, we won't offend them for a while. But he says, now, the church is decreasing, the fish is decreasing, and the kingdom is increasing. And the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent will take it by storm, by force. Hallelujah. And you will be so involved with the kingdom of heaven and the revelations of the Lord Jesus that we will be strong and do exploits. This is our finest hour, for he is cleansing the blood. And he will cleanse it from mountain, and there will be such a purity of revelation that the word will be so powerful. Hallelujah. Nothing will stand against the saints of the Most High. Stand and speak in tongues. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to reach your hands out toward us. We'll reach our hands out toward you. And you will flow in the authority, and the children are free. Amen. And the glory of the Lord, the Ancient of Days, has moved upon you in His timing and in His glory. Hallelujah. Reach your hand out toward us, and we'll reach our hands out towards you. Let's seal one another. Father, you said you'd cleanse our blood from Mount Zion. We praise you. Glory to God. The word shall be purified in all the world. Hallelujah. The hook is in the fish's jaw, and the church system shall decrease, and all the hierarchy shall decrease. But the kingdom of our God shall be raised up. We loose the Ancient of Days authority through the Son of Man that qualifies the saints of the Most High. And we shall possess the kingdom. We shall possess the kingdom. Hallelujah. We loose my brother. We release my sister. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shall the pianist take me higher? I have enjoyed that. But let's sing that. I would like to have you just for a few moments. As we sing it, I want you just maybe to kneel where you're at later on. And after we sing it a couple times, find your way up here around the altars, men and women, find your way around the chairs there. Let's just have a time to seek the Lord. And hallelujah. Just pour your heart. Open your heart. And I know the time, but just allow the Spirit of the Lord to touch you tonight. Praise God. I want the Lord to minister to you. Praise the Lord. Allow that authority of God to touch you. Amen. Take me higher. Sing it. Hallelujah. Seeing this, the Lord just sort of impressed me that it would be more effective for everybody just to turn to someone and just pray for each other. Just loose that Ancient of Days authority on everyone you touch. Amen. Say it again and pray for someone. Speak the prophetic power.
Take me higher as I travel. Make my feet like the high speed as I journey. Don't let me slip or stumble. Let me soar. Take me higher, show me Jesus all the way. Take me higher, blessed Savior. Take me higher as I travel. Make my feet like the high feet as I journey. Don't let me slip or stumble or like an eagle. Take me higher, show me Jesus all the way.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, praise God, let me soar like the eagle. Somebody said, how can you soar with the eagles if you run with turkeys? Amen. Brother Glenn, we've enjoyed being here. My, praise God. What a beautiful night. Amen. It's almost going to be a beautiful morning. Oh, the blessing of God is upon us. Thrill of the life, hallelujah, of the Lord is flowing through us. We appreciate all the effort, Brother Glenn, of everybody work and temporarily put up temporarily the nice cooling atmosphere here, hallelujah. And everybody that has a part in the cooking and every effort, hallelujah, all the way through this week. We've just begun to see the glory, amen. Thank you, Lord. Brother Glenn, come if there's anything you'd like to say.
All right, shake hands with everybody, and especially me, Brother Frank, and his good wife, and the ministry here. Let the Lord bless you as you are dismissed tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.